Good morning. Welcome to Barat Ministries, a worldwide Christian church in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Today we celebrate the Lord's Supper, our monthly celebration of gratitude, a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ look back to the cross. And in this celebration, we remember the sacrifice that the unconditional love and the hope that the Lord provided us through the sacrifice of his blood. The Lord Jesus Christ was happy to be broken for us. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, "The Lord Jesus Christ himself bore our sins in his own body on the cross, so that we believers in Christ might die to the sovereignty of sin, and so that we might live to righteousness, for by his wounds we were healed." Because of Christ and his work on the cross, Christians celebrate both an empty cross and an empty grave, because he is risen. And both of those give us the promise of a very bright future. Revelation chapter 21, beginning at verse 1, details your future. Listen for the two distinct groups of creatures outlined in this passage. Revelation 21, 1. "Then I," and that's John who wrote the book of Revelation, "saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. The new heaven and the new earth that you will live on one day, which the Bible calls the first heaven, is not a renovation of the current heavens and earth. It is brand new, and you will live there." Revelation 21, 2. "And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband is made ready." Revelation 21:3, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men.'" That should call to mind John chapter 1, verse 14. The Lord came and tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory, full of grace, full of truth. "So I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they," the saints, "shall be his people," that's believers in Christ, "and God himself will be among them." Revelation 21, 4, "And he will wipe every tear from their eyes. And there will no longer be any death, there will no longer be any mourning or any crying or any pain. The first order of things has passed away." Revelation 21, 5, "And the Lord Jesus Christ, who sits on the throne, said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' And he said, 'Write, John, for these words are faithful and true." You can count on this. It's the truth, and it is unchanging. Revelation 21, 6, "Then the Lord Jesus Christ said to me, 'John, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last letter of the Greek alphabet. I am the beginning and I am the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the waters of life without cost.'" Revelation 21, 7, "And he who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." There's an indication of intimacy. That's the first group, he who overcomes. Who is that, he who overcomes? All believers in Christ. Why do you say it with a question mark? Believers? Yeah, all believers in Christ. We overcame. We have overcome. We are the overcomers. So that's one group, the overcomers. Revelation 21:8. "But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." There's the other group. Who is that? Unbelievers. Now see, now you take that verse out of context, and what does it say? It says that anyone who commits these sins is going to the lake of fire. You take it out of context, you don't get it. You leave it in context, there are two groups being discussed here and the future of two groups. Revelation 21, 23 says, "And this city has no need of the sun, No need of the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illuminated it, and its lamp is the Lamb without spot or blemish who takes away the sins of the world, who we know to be Jesus Christ. So that verse 8 is not saying that sin is an issue in the unbeliever's salvation, because it is not. Faith alone and Christ alone is the only issue at salvation, but it's saying that you will know unbelievers by their fruit. And the fruit of unbelievers is that list of sins in Revelation 21:8. The fruit of unbelief. So welcome to the celebration of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to the Lord's Supper, a reminder that God's unconditional love for us is amazing, and it's a reminder of the amazing future that He has prepared for His believers in eternity past. Now, the opening song, Calling You to Freedom.
Lord Jesus Christ, will you come?
Thank you, June. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Thank you for planning a glorious future for us in eternity past. Thank you for unfolding our divine destiny in small doses so that we have a chance to take it all in. And thank you for your gracious care of your creatures. Help us to develop an appreciation for the divine in today's Lord's Supper celebration. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. The Lord's Supper celebration, the spiritual life is divine. The spiritual life is divine. What does that mean exactly? Well, it's a great word. Divine is a great word to characterize the spiritual life because here are some of the things it means. It means from God. When something is divine, it's from God. When something is divine, it's heavenly. When something is divine, it's celestial. When something is divine, it is amazingly lovely. When something is divine, it's unusually beautiful. And all of these words are perfect descriptions of our spiritual life. God has given us believers a spiritual life from the moment of salvation. And this resurrection life that we have, the Zoe life, the eternal life, passes through a series of stages. And in our Lord's Supper celebration over the last several months, we've been talking about that progression and learning different components of it. So what is the spiritual life progression that Jesus Christ offered us through his cross? There are five stages of it. The first is design. The second is death. The third is destiny. The fourth is dearth, a lack. And the fifth is divine. And as time goes on in our spiritual lives, we start to realize the significance of these stages. They are gifts from God that tell us that we are significant to him. They let us know that he bothered to create a path for us to easily follow. And at the Lord's Supper celebration, this time we conclude our look at that spiritual life progression. In today's lesson, we'll look at the spiritual stage called the divine. And what is that all about? But first, a few announcements. The first is to a reminder to check in on Facebook before church service. And so, you know, we always do that in the second part, but we hope you remember to do that in the first part. I'd like your prayers. I'd like you to join me in prayer for Sue Halverson and her family. Sue lives out in Millbrae, California. She's a friend of this ministry and a friend of this pastor, and we want you to pray for her husband who has an aggressive brain tumor. Prayers go out for Sue, but not only Sue, for Heidi, her daughter, for Chris, her daughter, for Bo, her son. These are people who are very special to me, and the prayers of all Barah Ministries are with you right now, Sue. And just remember what the Lord says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. And surely I'll uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. And so if Gordon is getting a chance to listen, you know, I'm praying for you and praying for a full recovery. And your life, of course, is in God's hands. But I hope everything goes well for you. You're an important person to me as well. So congratulations are in order for Kevin Gamble, who went home to be with the Lord on April 7th. 2015, so a few days ago, just shy of his 50th birthday. Kevin is a friend of a person who was befriended by one of the members of our non-resident congregation over in Dallas, Brian Davis. Brian's been a friend of mine for a decade and a half and just a great guy. And Kevin Gamble was homeless and living under a bridge in Dallas. And Brian befriended him. And the one thing I want to say about the last year of Brian's befriending of Kevin is that I got to see what the spiritual life actually is through watching Brian. Because he, you know, he took this guy into his home, he put him up in hotels, he fed him, he made sure he was taken care of. He fought to get him disability. He fought to get him in hospitals. He ended up helping him get three surgeries over the course of the last year. Kevin had diabetes, and diabetes is horrible. My whole family has had the ravages of diabetes. But just to watch Brian with Kevin over the last year has just been one of the most inspiring things that I've ever seen. And Brian actually introduced me to Kevin, and I got a chance to talk to him. And, you know, Kevin had read the Bible about 100 times, and so he was very familiar with it. And he was talking to me during the time when we were going through the big schism in Barah Ministries. And he was so encouraging and so inspiring to me. And I got off the phone and I was asking myself, why am I a pastor? Why isn't this guy a pastor? Because he had such a command of Scripture that you just got off the phone from talking to him and you just felt tremendous. So I've really never been happier for anybody that the Lord saw fit to take him home at this time, because he had a really rough go of it. And I'm really grateful that the Lord brought Brian Davis into my life so I could see what Christianity really is. Because, you know, it's really easy to talk about Christianity, you know. But then when you're living it, when you're going into your own pocket and you're spending your own time and your own effort to really communicate to another person, I care about you, that's an amazing thing. And so, Brian, I know Brian is suffering this week because of this. And we just want you to know, Brian, that you mean a lot to us at Barah Ministries, and you mean a lot to me personally. And I look forward to meeting Kevin when we get to heaven. Too bad I got more announcements. It seems like I don't want to go on. But make sure to like Barah Ministries on Facebook. There are nearly 3,200 people who have signed up to be part of our online community. And now that we have these small lessons, it's a good place for you to lead your friends to. Our third 10-minute lesson posted on Facebook last week, it was God Wants You, and it got over 3,200 views. The one just before that, God Loves You, was up in the 6,500 views range when I looked the last time. So that's just amazing to me. And I'm hoping it's not one person looking at it over and over. Lila, that's not you, is it? You just keep going in there pressing that. Hey, honey, have you seen how many views? Because I remember when I was when Mark Pomeroy first did the Barah Ministries website, and I was traveling the world at that time, and I said, "Oh my God, we got somebody in Malaysia," you know, clicked. It was me. What an idiot. So now we have a place to bring your friends to where they can get a dose of what Barah Ministries is all about, hopefully leading them to study with us in our regular studies. Mark your calendars. The next deacons meeting is April 25th at 7:30 a.m. Mountain Standard Time. June, you are invited to that meeting, so put that in your calendar. And we meet at Liberty Market in Gilbert. Do you know where that is? Okay, so we're going to talk about the music ministry. So. And you're not fired or anything, so don't obsess about it. You are going to be reduced to quarter time. The next Lord's Supper celebration is on Mother's Day, Sunday, May 10th, so the celebration after this. We're going to visit the vets next week, April 19th at 1:45 p.m., so please join us for that if you haven't. Mark your calendars. A couple of dates for no face-to-face teaching, May 3rd and July 5th. And also mark your calendars. The Coeur d'Alene Conference is coming up in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, August 7th and 8th, 2015. And we're really looking forward to that. We've got John and Monica with us. I saw that, I saw a picture of the facility. Is that the facility? That's pretty nice looking. I mean, we've just been kind of kicking it up, which is great. Oh, that's awesome. That looks like a great place to have it. We're going to be back on the radio at KXEG, 1280 a.m., 9:30 a.m. on Sundays, and the lessons begin April 26th. The fourth album, June's fourth album, is on the website. It's called You Ran After Me, and so all of the songs are available for download free of charge. Happy birthday to, you can give her a hand, it's all right. No, just clapping for you. They're clapping for you. They didn't want to move on, and I want to clap for John. John Miller. Yeah, that's who I'm clapping for. John Miller is here, and his birthday is the day after mine on Tuesday, April 14th. So give him a nice hand. It'll be double nickels, right? And then my birthday is tomorrow, and it'll be a whole lot. 60. Thank you. So I'm joining the Sexagenarian Society, you know. And at 60, any sex you can get is an awesome thing. Do you know what sexagenarian? That's a SAT word. It means between 60 and 70. Sexagenarian. Got it? All right. Got that? All right. And thank you for the new podium from Deacon Denny Goodall and Brothers Woodworks. A lot of care went into this. This is so nice. I can lean on it and not fall. That's beautiful. All right, let's take the offering. This is the time when you get to make a sacrifice on behalf of all the people around the world that can't afford to pay for the study of the Word of God. Your generous contributions make it possible for them to learn about the Lord Jesus Christ free of charge by means of the internet, by means of internet teaching, or by means of face-to-face teaching. Let's remember to give with the motivation suggested in Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a grace-oriented giver. Let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall.
Good morning. I'm Denny Goodall, and I'm proud to be a deacon for Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church. Even though we are sanctioned by God to charge for the many things we provide so you can worship God, we choose not to exercise our right. Therefore, no price appears on any materials from Barah Ministries so that anyone who desires biblical teaching may have it free of charge. Even though the materials we provide are free of charge, they are not free of cost. We appreciate it when the Word of God motivates you to give financial support so as to provide biblical teaching both for yourselves and for others. So please be generous in your support of God's work through this ministry. And last week, Pastor had a great revelation. You know, we have the Lord Jesus Christ who can sympathize with us and who has looked through our eyes. And he realized that not only did he look through the eyes of believers, but he looked through the eyes of unbelievers. When Jesus said, you know, why have you forsaken me? He realized that that's God, that's the Lord Jesus Christ seeing what it must be like to be in hell as an unbeliever. And he realized that that's blame. It's blame that we place on others. And it hit me this week as I was venting to one of my coworkers about a boss. I was blaming my boss for my frustrations. I was in a bad mood and I was making an excuse and blaming my boss for that bad mood that I was in because of what they do or how they do something or whatever they do. That's what made me to be angry. And he's here today, so I can't talk about him right now with you guys and blame him for other things. But it hit me, though, that, you know, the root of gossip is blame. You know, a lot of times you're blaming others for how you feel, you know. And I had another friend that was saying he was feeling down this week because he was looking at the world around him. But how can you look down when you think about God is there with us no matter what, all the time? You know, and I hope that we don't blame others for the way this church has become or what it's going to be. Or that we don't blame ourselves for not giving enough or trying too hard and you know, beating ourselves over the head with the rubber hose Pastor always talks about. So I wanted to use Romans chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore you have no excuse, every one of you who passes judgment. For in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. It's like Pastor says, when you point, there's always three fingers pointing right back at you. So just, you know, I think the point of the story is don't blame others for anything that happens in your life, whether it's your current situation or your current attitude. you know, just reset and think of what God would feel, unconditional love. And that's not always easy, but it's always the best path and the simplest path. So in the same way, you know, the simplest path is just to get the wallets and the purses out and just pull everything out of there. You know, don't just gauge it, maybe half of it, just all of it. It's just simpler. So thank you so much for your constant support, and God bless Barah Ministries.
Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. I have what you need, but you keep on searching. I've done all the work, but you keep on working. When you're running on empty and you can't find the remedy, just come to the well. You can spend your whole life chasing what's missing, but that empty inside, you just ain't gonna listen. When nothing can satisfy and the world leaves you high and dry, just come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind and come to the well. So bring me your heart, no matter how broken. Just come as you are. When your last prayer is spoken, just rest in my arms a while. You'll feel the change, my child, when you come to the well. It's all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind and come to the well. Yeah. Leave it all behind. The world will try,
you fall. Welcome back. The Lord's Supper celebration, the spiritual life is divine. And as we go through these spiritual life stages, what I'd like you to do is ask yourself a question. Where does this show up in my life? So part one of the Lord's spiritual life progression is design. Design always demands a designer. And God the Father has designed a perfect and personal plan for His imperfect creatures. So how does that show up in your life? Do you get it that there is a life ahead of you that's exceeding and abundantly beyond anything you could ever ask or think? Do you get it that not only while you're here on earth, but for all eternity, you're going to have a life that's beyond your wildest dreams? That's what I want to know. Part two of the Lord's spiritual life progression is death. And death is the recognition that because of Adam's sin, we were born spiritually dead and are in need of a Savior. And do you recognize that in your life? If you're a believer in Christ, you certainly have. But do you also recognize that there will be little deaths in your life continually to remind you of that? Part three of the Lord's spiritual life progression is destiny. God makes it clear to us that we're part of His design, and that we can choose to be in Christ instead of in Adam. And when we choose to be in Christ, we have a destiny. We have the exact same destiny as Christ. And so everything that is related to Christ is related to us as well. If he is an heir, then you are an heir. If he is a king, then you are a king. It's an amazing thing when you really stop to think about it. Part four of the Lord's spiritual life progression is the dearth of the desert. And to get you ready to appreciate this life that you have, you go through a series of desert experiences. And those experiences can be really explained easily, that you have a cross that you have to bear. And then you will be taken off of that cross, and you'll be in a grave for a period of time. And then that grave will be empty because you'll be delivered. And I think Deacon Denny did a good job of explaining, you know, the attitudinal thing that is really critical when you're in that grave for that period of time. I describe that period as putting one foot in front of the other. Just having the strength to just do that, having the strength to put one foot in front of the other. And you're waiting for God's deliverance. It's that period of time when God makes it crystal clear to you that you're dependent on him. And I like that dependence. But part four of the Lord's spiritual life progression is the dearth of the desert, because life is filled with little disappointments, big disappointments, the deaths in the desert, the ups and downs when things don't work out as we wish they should, as we wish they would. And we describe these deaths as rough patches, but God had intended all along that you experience Satan's kingdom with its bumps and bruises so that he could show you that in your own power you could never deliver yourself, but that he could deliver you in his power. And then part five, the divine. We get to see just how amazing the spiritual life is, just how amazing all the things are that God has prepared for those who love him, all the things that God has prepared for his believers. And so after we enjoy the elements, we'll hear about the divine part of God's plan for you. So following God's request, we keep on celebrating his cross on a regular basis. We eat to remember who he is, his person. And we drink to remember his work, which is the voluntary sacrifice that he made at the cross on our behalf. Voluntary. And thank you for explaining, Deacon Denny, about the, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because I think you articulated it better than I did last week. I think I ended up confusing people. But when Jesus came out of that three-hour experience, he had seen things from an unbeliever's point of view. And an unbeliever will blame God in the lake of fire instead of realizing that the only reason that the unbeliever is there is he put himself there. So we're grateful for the work that God has done for us at the cross. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and 24 say this, "I, Paul, received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is and keeps on being my body, which is broken for you. Keep on doing this celebration for the purpose of remembering me.'" Now we eat to remember the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we think about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're thinking about the relationship that we have with him. Now, when we drink the cup, we remember the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25 says this, "In the same way, the Lord Jesus Christ took the cup after supper, representing his death on the cross, saying, 'This cup is a new testament, forged with my blood. Keep on doing this celebration, and as often as you drink it, for the purpose of remembering me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" And so when we drink, we remember the Lord's work. So as you enjoy the bread and the cup, the broken body and the blood of our Lord and Savior, as you enjoy that, now and always, remember to give thanks.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say,
Working. Welcome back. The Lord's Supper celebration. The spiritual life is divine. The spiritual life is divine. What has God prepared for those who love him? Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. What has God prepared for those who love him? I'm not telling you. You know why? Because if I told you, you wouldn't believe it. As many times as I've told you, you still have a hard time believing. God has prepared the divine for you. You have a place in the divine scheme of things. At the center is Christ. You know, you want to know what Christianity is? Short and sweet, Christ. So where does that put you? If Christ is at the center of all things and you're in union with Christ, where does that put you? In the same place, at the center of all things. He is the heir of all things. You are the co-heir. It puts you right at the center as well. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8 says this, "To me, Paul, the very least of all the saints, this grace was given." That describes the Christian way of life. This grace was given. To preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. That's what you own as believers in Christ, the unfathomable riches of Christ. SAT word, unfathomable. What does that mean? What do you think that means? Huh? You won't even believe it. Yeah, that's right. The divine that has been prepared for you are the unfathomable riches of Christ. Romans chapter 11, verse 33, Paul is positively giddy when he thinks of all the Lord has done for his believers. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom of God and the knowledge of God. Oh, the depth of the riches. How unsearchable are his judgments. How unfathomable are his ways. You have a lot to look forward to when we get into the 12th to the 16th chapter of Romans, where Paul is just beside himself at all the things that we've learned along the journey up to that 12th chapter. The divine has been prepared for you, and it is unsearchable. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says, "Just as it is written, things which the eye has not seen, and the ear has not heard, and which have not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him." The divine has been prepared for you, and it is not visible, it is not audible, and it can't even be contained in your heart. James chapter 1, verse 12 says this, "Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Who is that? Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. Who is that? Believers. Believers. How many times have you been asked to believe that there's a superiority system and that you probably won't get it? Does that sound anything like God? Once he has been approved, when have you been approved? Well, from the moment of belief, but at physical death, right? And he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. You love him. The divine that has been prepared for you includes rewards like crowns. And when I was involved in the legalism of systematic theology, which promotes a caste system in heaven where some believers are better than others, I always wondered to myself a very simple thing. How bad can the ghetto be in heaven? How bad can the ghetto be in heaven? Not bad. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. That was my Chicago coming out, right? Not that bad. Romans 8:28, "We know that God the Father causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." Who are the ones who love God? Believers, you. You signed up for his team. So the divine has been prepared for you, and it includes a life of purpose. You have been called according to his purpose. What does that mean? You have been invited to the privilege of his purpose. See, it's all about God. It's all about what God wants to do for you, and it's not at all about anything that you want to do for him. So when did God prepare all these things for his believers? Matthew chapter 25, verse 34, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" When did he have you in mind? From the foundation of the world. What does that mean exactly? The divine that has been prepared for you was developed from the foundation of the world at the time, literally, when God was mapping out the world, long before you were ever created. Now, can we know all that God has prepared for us? Job wondered that in Job chapter 11, verse 7. He said, "Can you discover the depths of God? Can you discover the limits of the Almighty?" God's plan for you is unfathomable, but it is God the Holy Spirit's job to reveal God's plan to you and to prepare you for it. He is perfecting you. He is shaping you in God's image. You walk by means of him. Your lifestyle is by means of the Spirit. And your life, this phenomenal life, is unfolding right before your eyes. And as I spend the last day of my 60th year on the planet, I just marvel at everything that God has been able to do for me. I just marvel at the gifts that he has given me. How he has taken this nothing and made him into something. And that's why we call this Barah Ministries, to make something from nothing, to speak something into existence from nothingness. That's what Barah means. And that's what he's done with me, and that's what he's done with you. And whatever has been gained to us here on this earth doesn't even compare. You know what we will spend most of our time in eternity doing? This. Man! It's amazing. Just amazing. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 says this, "For to us God revealed them." What them? The things not seen, the things not heard, the things that have never entered into the heart. "Through God the Holy Spirit. For God the Holy Spirit searches all things, even the depth of God. The divine has been prepared for you, and it is beyond your wildest imagination." I think it was beautiful how Paul put it in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 when he said, "You know, there are things that I saw in the third heaven that a man is not even permitted to speak." I don't think that's just because God said, "Shh, you know, keep it quiet, don't tell anybody." I just think, how do you put it into words? How do you put unfathomable and unsearchable into words? I don't think we have any idea how amazing our lives are going to be here on earth and all eternity is because of what God has prepared for us who love Him. So I will continue to pray the prayer of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 on your behalf, which says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened." I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you might be able to see glimpses of these things that He has prepared, so that you will know what is the hope of God the Father's calling of you, what is the absolute confidence that you gain from the fact that He invited you to a set of privileges that would stagger your imagination. And what are the glorious riches of His inheritance? What is it that an heir would get but an inheritance? What are the glorious riches of His inheritance for all the saints? That will be my prayer for you, that you might see just glimpses of what God has prepared for you. The promises of the Lord Jesus Christ are guarantees. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household who also believes. Jesus said to doubting Thomas, "I am the way to salvation. I am the truth through the Word of God. I am the Zoe life, the resurrection life, the eternal life. And no one comes to the Father but through believing in me." He who believes in the Son has the Zoe life. But he who does not obey the command to believe in the Son will not see the Zoe life. Instead, the wrath of God abides on him. Closing song, "Oh, Happy Day."
Oh, happy day when Jesus.
happy day. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord, happy day. Put it on me, Denny. I want to say something before we go into the prayer. So, you know, first of all, I'm excited right now. So, you know, first of all, I think what you need to know is that this is God's ministry. Barah Ministries is God's ministry, and he's doing something with it. But then, secondarily, I think you need to know that this is your ministry. And there are three things that you do in a ministry. Number one, you believe in Christ. Number two, you listen to his word. And number three, you express your spiritual gift. And this is a place where you can express your spiritual gift. And so, you know, when Joel and Deanna Prokoski get tired of living in the freezing cold over in Pennsylvania, you know, they were music majors in college. Can you even imagine that? You know, it's just kind of people who get beat up all the time, you know. But, you know, I've heard them play their instruments, and they can really play the instruments. And I have a vision of a day when June's going to sing Oh Happy Day, and there's going to be a choir behind her, and there are going to be people with instruments and stuff and that like that. And I don't want that to be in heaven. You know what I'm saying? There are a lot of good musicians in heaven, so there's going to be a competition up there. And so this is your ministry, and I think you always have to be asking yourself, how am I going to express my spiritual gift in this ministry? And so we want you to do that, because there's nothing wrong with actually hearing a song like that and actually being excited and inspired by it. And I'd like to see more of that in Barah Ministries, and I just don't want to have anything to do with it. I don't want to have to do it, right? Because I'm thinking, okay, so we got resident congregation, ask the pastor, non-resident. I want to teach those goofy teenagers that there's more to life than a Slurpee, you know, two lessons a week plus the 10-minute lessons plus the YouTube ministry plus, oh, my God, my head's going to explode. But there's a lot of room for expression for everybody here. And so I'd ask you to continue thinking about how you want to express your spiritual gift, resident or non-resident. How do you want to express your spiritual gift to say to God, hey, thank you for the salvation and thank you for the thinking that you're giving to us. All right, so let us pray. Almighty God and Father, we just thank you that every day in our life is an oh happy day, because we have a relationship with you. And it's easy for us to get down every once in a while and to turn to the kingdom of death and listen to their ramblings, all of which are lies, and let that ruin our mental serenity. But we don't have to do that, because every day is an oh happy day. And even the days when we're doing that are oh happy days, because we know that our eternal destiny is victory because of what you did, Father, and what you sacrificed by sending your Son. And so we just thank you for that, and we ask you to keep bringing it to the forefront of our lives, all that you've prepared for us who love you. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.